My dear friends in Christ, isn't the account of the day of Pentecost a delightful story? Now, I don't mean story in the way that I mean that it's not true. It's just kind of like a fairy tale. I mean, it's just the account of what happened on the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. Luke writes these words: when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And as a budding theologian, I want to answer the question, like, who was together in all at one place? Was it the 11 disciples or 12 disciples minus Judas plus Matthias, still equaling 12? Or maybe it was the 500 or so that was talked about in 1 Corinthians 15 by the Apostle Paul. Or maybe it was just the 120 mentioned in the book of Acts, the first chapter. Although it really doesn't matter, in my mind's eye, as I see artists' renditions of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I always envision it as just the 12. Regardless of how many disciples are there, it had to be a big place, because over 3,000 came to faith in that day. And those that were there, they heard the sound of a roaring, rushing wind. As I read through that, I found it interesting that it doesn't say that the wind was actually blowing. They just heard the sound. Now, after the tornado at Pilger, I'd asked some of my former parishioners about the tornado, and one of them said it sounded like the freight train that everybody else said, but it was that loud, rushing wind. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, there was a loud, rushing wind. But it was more than that. It was also the tongues of fire descending and then dispersing amongst the disciples that were gathered there. And I got to lean on artist renditions, because whenever I see that, it's kind of that short, squatty flame, bigger than a candle flame, but not like a torch. But it's burning, and there's something happening. It's kind of amazing. That picture to me is like, that would have been really awesome to see. But that wasn't all there was. It was just the sound of the rushing wind and the tongues of fire. It was actually, after this all was taking place, the disciples began to open their mouths, and they began to preach. Now, if you look through the book of Acts, it doesn't really give us the sermons verbatim. There's no like manuscript that's been handed down to us. But Luke does tell us an idea of what they were talking about. They were talking about, and I quote, the mighty deeds of God. Each one appears to be speaking in a tongue or a language which wasn't his own, and a language he had never spoken before. He was simply opening his mouth, and words of another language were coming up, and people were there that were understanding it, not to mention the rushing wind and the flames of fire. It was an amazing story. And Scripture tells us that a number of people came to faith that day. Now, this went on for a while, I would assume, because people were in Jerusalem because they were celebrating the high feast. And so good Jewish men and women from around Israel and far stretching lands would have come to the holy city to celebrate, as Scripture would mandate. And many of those who came heard that loud rushing wind and people speaking in other languages. And they came to check it out, to see exactly what was up, what was happening in the city of Jerusalem. This is when Peter stood up and said, you know, men of Israel, what's taking place today was prophesied by the prophet Joel. This is what's supposed to be happening. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was promised. So I kind of went on that theme. Full to overflowing. That's when Pentecost began. The apostles found themselves filled with the Holy Spirit so much that they could not help but open their mouths and to proclaim the glory of God's deeds. It was a remarkable thing. Preaching in languages they had never known. It would have been amazing to be a part of, to see with their own eyes. But the whole point, it wasn't the disciples that should get this big glowing applause and this honor and glory. It was God working things out in His own time and His own way. It was God pouring out His Holy Spirit. It was God speaking through these men the mighty deeds of God. It had everything to do with God's power within His church. And as I said, this is how Pentecost began, but certainly Pentecost still takes place today in your life and in mine. But wouldn't you like just for a moment to be able to see and feel what happened on Pentecost? Just to kind of watch those tongues of fire, however big or small they were, descending, and people that don't speak a particular language began to prophesy and tell of God's mighty deeds. Now, this actually happens within the Christian church today. There are some denominations that long to feel and to see the interaction of the Holy Spirit within His church. And there's hands uplifted and people speaking in tongues, and all kinds of Pentecostal things are taking place. But after all, we're Lutheran. And that seems foreign to us to see and to feel. Well, don't get me wrong. You can be Lutheran and feel your faith in the work of the Holy Spirit. But the point I'm trying to make is that God's intention wasn't for the disciples and the people to remain in Jerusalem to partake of the tongues and fire and that loud rushing wind and speaking in foreign tongues, because it ultimately came to an end. And people were dispersed. But still there's that desire. But Pastor, if we could just see that today. One of the first years I was in ministry up at Pilger, I went from my house to the post office, and along the way there was a guy that lived, ironically, in the old mortuary, which was a converted house. His name was Steve. He lived there with his wife at the time, Judy. And if you know me very well, you realize that I like people, and I get along with people that have had difficult lives. Maybe that's why I like jail and prison ministry so much. Maybe I can just relate. I don't know. But the bottom line is Steve had tattoos up both arms, and his nickname was Trouble, and he lived up to his reputation. But over time, Steve and I developed a relationship to the point where he actually invited me into his home, and I began to take him to adult instruction. And as we kind of got to the end of adult instruction, he actually cooked breakfast, mushroom omelets, and they were awesome. But the bottom line, we went out the back door as he was showing me out, and he said, Pastor, wouldn't it be great if God would work today, like just like right in the sky, that Jesus is real. He died for your sins or whatever else, and people could see that, and then people would know that God is alive and active, and what's found in God's Word is true. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, I thought for a few minutes, and I thought to myself, you know, the point that God makes, He wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. God doesn't want us to follow Him because we hear the loud rushing wind and we see the tongues of fire and people speaking in foreign tongues. He wants us to follow Him because of the mighty deeds that He has done through the blood of Jesus Christ. But the reality is God has not left Himself without a sign, mind you, within the church today. He's simply not going about His work in broad, flashy ways to attract a lot of attention. No, not too much proving Himself again and again and again, because the longer God would stand with that loud wind blowing and the tongues of fire, the more we begin to look upon it and say, is that all you got? If God did that every single week here, we'd stand back and say, Lord, come on with something new. Can't you like peel the new shingles back and stick your head in here and say, I'm alive and I'm active and do some marvelous things so that people would be drawn to you, and that all these people would come and we'd convert all these people in one day if you were just more alive and active in my life today. But I tell you, we as sinful human beings would continue to demand more. If you don't believe me, think about the exodus of God's people from Israel. God had led them out of captivity through all those plagues, right? The rivers turning to blood, the gnats and all that stuff. And now they're out in the wilderness and He's leading them. He's leading them by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. God is literally in their presence. And if that were not enough to provide for them in the middle of this barren wilderness, He provides bread from heaven in the form of manna on the ground in the morning. All you got to do is go out and pick it up. And you eat it. And I'm going to sustain you. Originally, that was awesome. Man, the people were excited. In fact, they were so excited they didn't listen to God. They took more than they needed because they weren't sure to be there all the time. And so they became crammed in, and that turned sour and worms infested it. They decided that wasn't so good. But as time went on, they began to say, we are sick and tired of this manna. Is that all you got? We want to go back to the leeks and the cucumbers of Egypt. That was better than this. God, you need to prove. You give us more. Then I began to think to myself, how quickly the miracles of God became everyday ordinary stuff. But what about you and me? We're different, right? Now, Pastor, last time I checked, I didn't have to go outside and pick up manna on the ground to be fed with bread from heaven. But you get bread from heaven today, don't you? In a few moments, I'm going to pull the lid off that pat that's on the altar, and I'm going to lay some hosts on a tray, and I am going to consecrate it, and there is literally bread from heaven. But aren't there some times in your life where you said, Lord, do we have to have communion every Sunday? It takes so much longer, especially if Pastor has that one of those long-winded sermons that he's known for. And we're going to get out of here after, man, it's going to be, we're going to break the 12 o'clock hour and the Presbyterians are going to beat us in the restaurant. You see how miraculous things become ordinary. After all, God has given you His Word, hasn't He? They spoke about the mighty deeds of God, but today God goes even one step further. He gives you a pastor. A pastor to stand in front of you and declare the promises of God. You don't even have to open God's Word as you sit here. You simply listen and receive, and that power of God's Word transforms your life. It is a miracle. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, okay, is there an amen anytime soon? Can you just say amen and we can go on and have the Lord's Supper that we got to do again today? Because the gifts that God gives so often seem as if they're common and ordinary. They're not all that miraculous. You know, I wish just for a moment that God would reveal to our sinful human eyes what takes place in the baptism of a child. As heaven would open up and the voice of God would proclaim, this is my beloved son, or this is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased, and the descending Holy Spirit and Satan running like a whip pop from the font because the power of the water and the word has transformed their life. But so often we say, another baptism. We're not going to get out here until 12:30 today. Or if we could just see for a moment as that bread is consecrated and as I kneel at the altar and heaven would be torn open and we'd see beyond the veil of our sinful flesh those who have gone before, those who have died in the faith, mothers and grandmothers and children and daughters, and those people gathered there receiving the flesh and blood of Christ alongside of us. But we don't. We say, Lord, is it enough? Do we really have to have it every single Sunday? So what is it if we doubt and don't see? There are those that would, there at Pentecost, they'd heard the rushing wind and they'd probably seen the tongues of fire, and they certainly heard the disciples speaking in foreign languages. And what was their decision on what was taking place? They're drunk. Some that were gathered there saw all this power of God being unfolded, this beautiful story being right before their very eyes, and they're looking at it like they're just drunk. They are hammered. Is it any wonder that today men and women will look at the gifts that God gives and say, you know what, it really doesn't matter. Bread and wine, it's just a remembrance meal. It's not that important. We can have it quarterly if we wanted to. It doesn't matter. What difference does it make? Baptisms? We'll do a little christening. We'll say some words. But it's nothing that changes anyone's life. Words of absolution. He's just a man. He has no business standing before me to proclaim God's forgiveness because he's a sinner as I am. But when God works through word and sacrament like He tells us that He will, Luke writes in the book of Acts, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. When we receive the gifts that God has so freely given to you and me, when we see them even through our sinful eyes for what they really are, the mighty deeds of God become true and clear. See, the reality is that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, was wrapped in human flesh. That He lived a sinless life on your behalf because you and I can't. We complain about everything. And ultimately went to the cross of Calvary where He was crucified on our behalf because of all the times we cannot stop complaining. And for all the times we demand God to give us something to see because faith isn't enough. Because He suffered and died for you and me, we have forgiveness of sins, life everlasting in Him. Did I tell you I like wearing red? I don't think it's my color necessarily, but it reminds me that when I wear red, it's a powerful day. It's the Holy Spirit. As Lutherans, we refer to Him as kind of the shy one because not a lot of attention is given to the Holy Spirit because, quite honestly, He's just too doggone busy. He's forgiving your sins. He's ushering people into the kingdom of God. He's making clear what God's Word says about you and me as fellow sinners, that we're forgiven. But most importantly, I rejoice on the day of Pentecost because if even in a small way, I got to stand back with my mind's eye and see that beautiful story revealed before my very eyes. Because through it, I'm forgiven. And so are you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord.